Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Mem and Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Top of Amud. Our Mishnah discusses the issue if someone leaves the cotton by someone else, a fruit, a produce, what is the din regarding the assumption that this item might have depleted? How much do I have to give back to you? And as we'll learn in the Gemara, obviously, if I get a package from you and I just put it away and then I give it back to you as I received it, then there's no issue. I give you what you gave me, and whatever happened to it, happened to it. Provided, as we will learn further in the parak, I properly watched it. Our Mishnah discusses the situation where I, as the Gemara will teach us, I mix the two items together. And now we have to figure out how much should we assume was lost. Says the Mishnah. Somebody leaves Paris with someone else. We have to assume that there's natural depletion. And the Gemara explains. The Mishnah explains. If you left wheat, or you left iris, tisha, iris is either rice or millet, tisha chatzik kavin lekar, 9 half kavin to a kar, which the Mefarshim explain is 2.5%, because there are 180 kav in a kar. The soyer miladaychen, barley and daychen, is tisha kabin lakar, 9 kabin to a kar, which is 5%. Lakusman ulazara pishtin is shleishis sawn lakar, which is actually 10%, because there are 30 saw in a kar. Hakolafi amidav hakolafi azman. Says the Mishnah, even though we're giving these numbers are not hard and fast. It depends on the time and the place, depends on the country. All of these factors are to be considered. Some countries have more of an issue and there's more depletion. Other countries have less issues, different climate, different environment, less of an issue. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, v'chima ech v'sanolach barin, v'lai oichlois b'mahar b'mikila. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it doesn't make sense what the Mishnah is saying. He said, what are we concerned? That you left fruit with me and mice came and ate from that fruit. There's only that much the mice need to eat to be full. So if you left with me a large volume of payrith, the mice aren't any hungrier because you left more or you left less. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ela eni yotzla chesroinus ela korach bavad, a mouse will find enough to eat in one kor. And therefore, if you left me anything more than one kor, when we put into this calculation how much it might have been depleted, we only consider one kar might have been depleted. So now ask the Rishonim. There's a number of points to ask. The first question that we're going to mention is the Rishonim asking, what happens if you left less than a kar? If we're saying that the mice need this much to be full, so maybe if you left less than a kar, you would still take off this amount because they need that much to eat, which is actually machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, it has to be fair on both sides. And therefore, if you left less than a kor, you don't take off proportionally less. On the contrary, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, if you left less than a kor, we still take off this much, because that's how much the mice need. Tysus and other Rishonim disagree with Miri, and they're of the opinion that if you left very little with me, so there's very little room for the mice to maneuver. And therefore, since there's very little room for the mice to maneuver, we will deduct proportionally the formula that the Mishnah is using. Then Taisus asks, what is the machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri? That means according to the Tanakhama, we take off from every kar the amount that the Mishnah identified. According to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, we only take off from one kar. What is the basis of the machloikis? So he says a very interesting pshat. Actually, it's a Yerushalmi. He says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is absolutely correct. There's only that much that the achbarim need to eat. However, the Tanakhama is of the opinion that let's say the achbarim find a very large volume of paris, they only need a kar to get what they need. But if they see there's a lot of fruit here, a lot of tevuah here, they're going to call their friends, the other achbarim. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds as much as you have, they keep on taking proportionally, maybe not these achbarim, but they keep on calling other achbarim. Because Tosfos uses the words derishon. They call their friends to join them. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri doesn't accept that they do that. And in fact, I saw a number of issues around this point that Tosfos makes. One is an interesting halachic issue. If somebody, chas v'shalom, has a problem with mice in his home, and the question comes up, we're supposed to be compassionate to all living things. So what should we do? Are we allowed to kill the mice? So the Pesach will say, we're certainly allowed to get rid of the mice, because animals, according to Jewish law, were only created to serve people. And if animals get in our way, or anything gets in our way, because you don't want mice in your house, you're allowed to remove them. Reb Moshe says, however, because we know of Rachmav HaKol Masov, a person is supposed to be compassionate, so we shouldn't just go killing insects and mice. It's better that we should put out traps, again, in the most humane way possible, not do it in a cruel manner. However, I did say some Paiskim suggest. Tosfos just said that according to the Tanakhama, mice are considered Rishon. So a Rasha has a whole different rule. Then I saw that the Imre Emes asks a question. We know that the Torah, when it identifies the kosher birds and the non-kosher birds, one of the non-kosher birds that are identified is known as the chasida. What is the chasida? So Rashi says, Oysa chesed im chavroseha, which means it's a very nice bird, it shears. So asks the Imre Emes, according to Tosfos, the achbar also shears with others, with the other achbarim. So why isn't the achbar called the chasida? So I saw two answers that the Imre Emes gives. One answer he gives is the achbar, as Tosfos just explained to us, when does the achbar shear? The achbar shears when it has enough for itself, then whatever it has more, it'll call its friends to eat. The chasida, no matter how little it has, shares with its friends. Another tarot that he gives is that the achbar, what is he sharing? He stole some food, he went in and stole food, and that food, he's a nice guy, he's sharing. The chasida shares food that's hefker, that he got legitimately. That's why that's called a chasida, and this is called an achbar. One more nice vart. The mefarshim say, and now we could understand, when do achbarim come to someone's house? So the Medrash says, the achbar comes to someone's house, when does a person have a problem with mice? If he doesn't shear and give truma, meiser, and stocker, so the achbar come and eat his food. Why? Because we just explained, Tosfos just taught us, that the achbar have this quality that they shear. So if you, the human being, don't shear, then you deserve to have achbarim come to you who do shear. But then they go a step further. The Gemara says in Masech Tahorius that if somebody eats from food that achbarim ate from, it's kosher l'shicha. It's going to cause them to forget. It's going to cause them to forget his learning or whatever. It's going to cause them to forget. So now we can understand when we say vidu meiser, part of the nusach is l'chalti b'ayin mimeni, and then we use the word v'shachachti. I remember the exact words myself now. L'chalti b'ayin mimeni, asitzi, and we use the word v'shachachti. What are we trying to say? What we're trying to say is that because, v'loy shachachti we say. What do we say? Because we gave trumas and maestras properly, that's why we don't have any achbarim eating from our food. And therefore, loy shachachti, because if we eat from food that achbarim ate for, we'll have a problem with shachachti. Says the Gemara further. V'yudaymer, em ha'isam midah merubah, if someone, and the Gemara will identify how much it is, left by a shomer a large volume of food, we don't have to take off the power, we don't have to make this deduction, as the Gemara will teach us, what happens naturally is, because of the moisture, the food expands. So whatever you lose because of the mice, you make up because of the expansion. Ask the Gemara, our Mishnah says that by Ayriz, the reduction, the depletion is only 2.5%. Ask the Gemara, Tuvachasa, Ayriz loses more than 2.5%. answer the Gemara. Amar Rav Abachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Baris Kol Shano. We're talking about peeled iris that only loses 2.5%. Lekosman Lazar Pishtin, Gimel Son Lekar. Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Chia, Zer Pishtin, Begvalim Shano. We're talking about flaxseed in its husk. Tanya Nami Hochi, Lekosman Lazar Pishtin. We're talking about Begvalim in its husks. Well, it's Irish Anakulim Kalif. There, if it's Anakulif, the Shira Shalish Son Lekar. According to the opinion of Tanakama, this is the rate of depletion for each car. This is done on an annual basis. Tanya. They said to Rabbi Yochanan, the Tanakama says to Rabbi Yochanan, Haba of this man, Haba of this Pazis man. You, Rabbi Yochanan, taking the opinion that we only consider one car as the amount for depletion is incorrect. Says the Gemara, Tana, Medvar Amurim, Shirvan, and Peroisov, as I said at the beginning of this year. Our discussion is a fundamental problem with it. Why do we take into consideration any depletion? Why don't I just give you back what you gave me? Says the Gemara, absolutely. If I took the package that you gave me, and I just take it and give it back to you, whatever it is, it is. There is a machloikas apaiskim, that if you left a package of payers of tefuah with me, and there is depletion, when it wasn't mixed up with anything else, do I have to swear that I properly watched it, and this happened just as a natural occurrence, or I don't even have to swear? But our Mishnah, says the Gemara, is referring to a situation, she'irvim and peyrosav, that I mixed your payers with my payers, and that is the depletion, and we need a formula how to apportion it. If I took your package and just put it away separately, I give you what you haven't finished. Ask the Gemara, even if I mixed it together, why should there be a problem? Why don't we make a calculation? You left 10 pounds, I left 20 pounds, so I have two-thirds, you have one-third, and whatever was depleted, we should divide according to that rate. Answers the Gemara, because it wasn't constant. I kept on taking out from this mixture for myself. Asks the Gemara, the lexicon is stopping, let's figure that into the calculation. Answers the Gemara, the lawyer, the common stopping. I don't really keep track how much I took, how much was there today, that was mine, how much was there tomorrow, that was yours. And therefore, the halacha is that we don't have any formula to follow, so we follow the formula of the Mishnah. There's an interesting sma. The sma says, the Gemara says, Masechta Bechoros. Let's say I'm a shepherd, and you leave an animal with me. We'll make this case simple. You left one animal with me, and I have one animal of my own. And now we have these two animals, and one of them died. So now the question is, whose animal died? We can't identify if it's yours or mine. I say it was yours, and you say it was mine. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Masechta Bechoros, and that's the halacha. Hametz mechaver olav araya. You have to prove that it was my animal that died, not yours. Ask the Sma, why don't we say the same over here? That when we have your tefuah and my tefuah mixed together, and now part of the tefuah depleted, why can't I say that all of the missing tefuah is yours? Hametz mechaveri, all of araya. Prove that some of it is from me. So he answers a very simple teretz. He says, when you have two animals, even though they're put together, they remain two separate units. So since they remain two separate units, the halach is hametz mechaveri, all of araya. But when we take your tefuah and mix it together with my tefuah, we don't have two separate units. Now became one mixture, one unit. And now when we divide it according to the ratio that the Mishnah identified. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, as we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Im Hais Midim Ruba, if you left a lot with me, then we could assume that whatever was depleted is made up by the expansion. Kama Midim Ruba, how much is considered a lot that we should put into this rule into effect? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba B'chana Amar B'yachlan, Asara Kurin. If you left a sar kurin, that's considered a lot. Tanya na mehochi, kama midah meruba, a sar kurin. Says the Gemara, Tani tanaka made Rav Nachman, b'med var mamurim, So the way that we try to explain the Gemara is as follows. Let's say we have a measuring cup or measuring utensil of a pound. But the pound measuring cup that was used in the warehouse and the pound measuring cup that's used in one home is not identical. There's more in the pound. It's hard to explain, but this is what the Gemara means. There's more volume in the pound measuring cup that's used in the factory, in the warehouse, versus the pound measuring cup that's used in one private home. So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Medvar Mamurim, Shemad, that this, when is this din that Rabbi Yehuda just taught us apply? Shemadalai Mitach Garnai, Vichslai Mitach Garnai. Av Madalai Mitach Garnai, if we use the factory measuring cup to, when you left the tefillah with me, Vichslai Mitach Beisai, and I return it to you from a measuring cup that I use in my home, which is a smaller shear, any yotz lecha, swarnes b'nei shemesiris. Then we say there's an expansion. Ask the Gemara, is that what this means? Are we dealing with fools? The Yavi, that when you leave the tefillah with me, you use the kaila rabba, you use the large measuring cup, and when I'm supposed to give it back to you, the shakli, the kaila zuta. Which businessman is going to get involved in that kind of a relationship? Rather, the way to understand the Brice is as follows. Dilma, the way to understand is the Moisa Garn Kamet. They typically collected the Tfua at the end of the summer. And it's at the end of the hot summer, and the Tfua dried up. So therefore says the Brice as follows. Medvar Mamurim, if you gave me the tefillah to watch the Mais HaGoyrin at the end of the summer when it's all dried up, v'hechseloi b'mais HaGoyrin, and I give it back to you at the same season, so there is no reason that there should have been any expansion because it was the same hot season. And therefore, the halacha is that we have to take into consideration the different shiurim that our Mishnah taught us. Ava madadloi b'mais HaGoyrin, v'hechseloi b'mais HaGshamim. Let's say you gave it to me in the summer, and I give it back to you in the winter, when it's humid, and there's expansion, any yetzalai, chsarin, then there's no room for this depletion. Why? Because on one hand, there may be depletion because of the mice. On the other hand, the humidity causes it to expand. Neshim asivis. Omer papal abaya, if we're saying now that during the winter, or during the rainy season, because of the moisture in the air, things expand, imkein lifka kada. Why, when we have something in a barrel, don't we see that the barrel bust? Because the humidity, the moisture, should cause it to expand and break. So the first test the Gemara says is indeed, hava uvdu paka. There was indeed situations where barrels of tefuah just busted. And why did they break? Because of this moisture expansion. Ibai seima, mishum itzitza. Itzitza means as follows. What happens is, when things are packed tightly into a barrel, there's no room for the moisture to seep in. And because there's no room for the moisture to seep in, the barrel doesn't bust. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Pnei Aryeh. The Pnei Aryeh asks, when was the first time we ever had matzahs? The first time we ever had matzahs was when we left Mitzrayim. What does the Pasuk say regarding those matzahs? Metzekam sururois besimloisam. They put the dough into their knapsack that they went, packaged into the knapsack, and they left Mitzrayim. So he asks a simple question. You have here all the ingredients to turn that dough into chametz. You have it on the back, going through the hot sun, going into the midbar. They're not being worked on for 18 minutes. We know if dough is not worked with on 18 minutes, the halacha is that it's certainly chametz. Some say even less than 18 minutes. So this is the first matzah that Klal Yisrael ever ate, and it's not kosher matzah. What's going on here? So the Pnei Aryeh says, Al Gemara is the answer to that question. What does the Pasuk say? B'tzeikam tzruros. What does the word tzruros mean? The word tzruros means packed tightly. The dough was packed tightly into the knapsack. Al Gemara just taught us that when something is packed tightly, there's no room for moisture to seep in, and there's no room for it to rise and expand. So even though they walked outside with these dough in the heat, maybe even for more than 18 minutes, but because they were tzururis, they remain matzah, they didn't become chametz. Says the Mishnah. Again, if you left wine with me, we could assume that a sixth is depleted. The Gemara will explain the machlokes. For every 100 lug of oil, you deduct 3 lug. Lug a machzah shmarim, a lug and a half you have to deduct because they turn into sediment. Lug a machzah bala, and a lug a machzah gets absorbed into the barrel. And therefore, says the Mishnah, im hayu shemim mizuk, if it's refined oil, and it's lug shmarim, there's not going to be any sediment. Im hayu kankanim yishanim, where there's no room for saturation, and it's lug bala. If I sell you oil, according to Yehuda, if I sell you oil, I could deduct, I don't have to deliver 100 log, I only have to deliver 98 and a half, I could deduct that log and a half for the sediment. And as we'll see in the Gemara, the Chachamim disagree with Yehuda. Says the Gemara, we began with the wine. One said a sixth, and one said a fifth. Says the Gemara, there's really no machlokes. Ma'ka asrei. As I said at the beginning of this year, depends on different places. The ma'chafa bekira, in the place, in Yehuda's place, where they, in the Tanakama's place, they coated it with wax, for the mites tvei, and therefore it doesn't absorb that much, and you only lose a sixth. But asrei, the ma'r, in Rabbi Yehuda's place, chafa bekafra, or mites tvei, they use tar and absorbs more, and therefore it loses a fifth. Ibai seima, mishum dagishta. They made the barrels out of clay. And there are different clays in different places. Ha mites tvei, ha la mites tvei. Some absorb more, some absorb less. Says the Gemara, interesting Gemara. Basu Rabbi Yehuda rama abom tam likuza bedana. In Rabbi Yehuda's locale, a barrel of wine would have 48 kuz in it, and it would be sold, they would have 48 kuz in it. Ozo dana, b'shita zozo. So what happened was that he would buy this barrel for 6 uz. So again, let's think. We have a barrel of 48 kuz that cost him 6 uz. Ozo dana, b'shita zozo. He bought the barrel for 6 uz. Paris Rabbi Yehuda, shita shishta b'zuzah. Then Rabbi Yehuda would sell 6 kuz for zuz. So now we serve, says the Gemara, dal tosun shita b'shita. So if he sold six kuz for zuz, to make up his investment of 6 zuz, how many kuzim must he sell? He must sell 36 kuzim. 6 times 6 equals 36. How many kuz did he begin with? 48. Partially, so he's left with teresa. He's left with 12 kuz. However, continues the Gemara, dal tamna shtusi, you have to take off 8 for the amount that we said in our Mishnah. You lose a shtus of wine every time you buy a barrel of wine. So how much do you have left? Pashal arba. Again, let's make the calculation. You started with 48 kuz. You needed 36 kuz to cover your investment. You lose 8 kuz because of the natural depletion. So you're left with 4 profit. 4 for profit out of 48. Now ask the Gemara, from Shmuel, Hamstaker, Ayestaker, Yoysel Shtus. The proper formula for profit is a sixth. That means if you buy a barrel of 48 kuz, you're entitled to make profit on 8. Here you're only making profit on 4. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. You're entitled, but it doesn't mean you always get what you're entitled to. Some explain that there was certainly no problem selling wine. So why did he accept to take less than he's entitled to? Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest, Rabbi Yehuda was a Rosh Hashiva. He wasn't a wine merchant. He was instructing the wine merchants in his town what is and isn't acceptable. And therefore the question was, why was he instructing them that they're only entitled to profit of 4 out of 48? They're entitled to 8 out of 48. Answers the Gemara. It could go for Shamria. There's really other things that have to be taken into consideration. He gets the barrel, and he gets the sediment, which he could resell. Ask the Gemara, if that's part of what he can make profit on, then on the contrary, then he's making too much profit. Then he's making too much profit. Answers the Gemara, ikatach v'demer b'znosa. If, this is what Rishonim explain, when is he entitled to make only ishtos? He takes the barrel and he flips it. So then the proper rate of profit is ishtos. But let's say I don't sell the barrel of wine at one time. I have to be busy with this barrel over a long period of time until I finish selling it. I'm entitled to make more, number one. And also I have other costs that I have to cover. The brisnaisa. Machlaikas, what is the brisnaisa? Two pshatim. One pshat is brisnaisa with a base, is that it was a talent, it was a special talent to know how to make a hole in the barrel to get the wine out. And you had to pay somebody to do it. So that's a cost that you have to recoup. Another pshat is not with a base, but with a chof. Chriznaisa. You had to pay for advertising. You had to pay for advertising to let people know that you're selling wine. That's a cost that you have to recoup. That's part of your overhead. We learned in the Mishnah, if I sold you purified, refined oil, any oil shmarm, there's no sediment. Ask the Gemara, very efstalibola. How can we say isn't there always going to be some absorption? Answers the Gemara, Rav Nachman, b'mezofin shana. We're referring to a situation where the barrel are coated. And since the barrels are coated, therefore there's no room for absorption. Ask Tosfos, we just began this piece of the Gemara after the Mishnah, it says that the wine barrels were coated, and still there was absorption. So what are we saying there's no absorption? So Tosfos says two terutz. One terutz Tosfos gives is that there's a difference between wine and oil. A wine barrel, even if it's coated, will absorb. An oil barrel that's coated will not absorb. Another terutz that Tosfos gives, there's a difference between new barrels and old barrels. New barrels absorb, even if they're coated. Old barrels don't absorb. And now the Mepharshim say we have to use the other terutz. There's a difference between wine and oil, because otherwise we would have a problem with the previous Gemara. In the previous Gemara, the Gemara said there's a problem that it absorbed. Why don't we just say it's old barrels? The answer is, Tosfos just told us, by wine there's always absorption. We don't have to say it was coated. Keep the ton. Since they're already absorbed, there's no room for absorption in a barrel that was previously used, because there's no room for further absorption, and we don't have to take that into consideration. Ask the Taz a tremendous kasha. It speaks to the whole Hilchus kashas. The Gemara just teaches us a concept of kin to ton, a barrel that was already used and already absorbed, that has no further room for further absorption. We know what is the first halach in Hilchus kashas, that if you have a pot, and you cooked in the pot, in a fleshika pot, you cooked dairy, or vice versa, we're always worried about belias, that some of the meat got absorbed into the pot, if it's a milchika pot, or vice versa. Why don't we use the concept, to ask the Taz, of kiyum v'neton ton? Once it's absorbed, there's no room for further absorption, and we wouldn't have any problems. Answer the Taz. We have to understand what kiyum v'neton ton means. Kiyum v'neton ton means that if a pot is absorbed, it only has that much it could absorb. But that doesn't mean that what's in there stays and there is no room for anything else to come in. What happens, says the Taz, is there's a transfer. The old blia goes out and the new blia comes in. So net, you don't have any new blia. But you do have a problem because the old blia went into the food that's in the pot and the new blia went into your pot. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yehuda, I'm Ava Mar Hashem Zukel Chaver Koy Moshe Shana. Hareza Makabel Olav Loig Umach Sheshmaram Lameya. That whenever I sell you 100 loig, you have to assume, you have to be ready to accept only 98 and a half, because a loig and a half goes for the settlement. Amar Baya. Kishetim Tzalaim Rodiv Rav Yehuda. If we analyze Rav Yehuda's opinion, Mutar La'arif Shemarim. A person is allowed to mix sediment into the oil that he's selling. But according to the opinion of Chamim, it's awesome. The Gemara explains itself. I'm allowed to mix the shmarm. Behind the tam de makabel. And that's exactly what happens here. I sold you oil, the amalei, and I could tell you like this. When I sell you 100 leg of oil, I have a right to sell you in that 100 leg, a leg and a half of shmarm. And therefore I could say to you, had I desired, I could have poured into here a leg and a half of shmarm. If I wanted, I could have poured in some shmarm. Hashta, now you want refined oil, and therefore accept it, minus the shmarm that I could have put into it. But why can't you say back to me, you didn't do me any favor? If you would have mixed in this leg and a half of shmarim, have him as dabinlay. What am I doing? I'm flipping it. So you would have sold me 100 leg, and yes, in that 100 leg, there's a leg and a half of shmarim, and I'll sell further as 100 leg. Hashta, but now that you're only delivering to me 98 and a half leg, my avidlay. What do you want me to do? To have 98 and a half leg of oil, and a leg and a half of shmarim? Nobody's buying sediment. Answers the Gemara, we're not talking about a person who's buying oil because he's in the oil business. That I sell you a barrel of oil and now you're going to sell it further. And therefore, if I only deliver to you a barrel of 98 and a half leg, you're going to get hurt because you only could sell 98 and a half instead of selling 100. You're a person that needs it for your own home. The balabais is skinin. The nichalei mitzela. You want purified, refined oil. You're using the oil in your home to cook. You don't want oil that has in it impurities. And the Ram Shif explains, and you're also taking the oil a little at a time. And since you're taking it a little at a time, you want every little bit that I deliver to you to be good quality oil that you could use for your family. Ask the Gemara, V'lei Malei. So you could say to me, fine. You have a right, when you sell me 100 leg, you have a right to give me a leg and a half of sediment. But why don't we say, midalay araftali, if you didn't do it, it's a proof that chulichalt. Yes, I, the seller of the oil, technically have the right to sell you not perfect oil that has in it a leg and a half of sediment. I didn't. You know why? Because I'm a quality person, and I don't want to give you anything that's not perfect. And then you could say, deliver to me 100 leg, because you're a nice person. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei d'les l'mechila. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not the way we look at halacha. Why? Famous Gemara. We've discussed this. The man, machalai is a tzemed, lay machalai is a bakar. Let's say I sell you a tzemed. A tzemed means a yoke. Is the animal included or not? So the Tanakhama says, a tzemed is a tzemed, doesn't mean the animal. Or vice versa. Machalai is a bakar. If when we made the deal, we spoke about bakar, the tzemed is not included. It's not that simple. We have to look at the circumstances. You say to me, I want to buy this yoke for you and pay 200 zuz, a tremendous amount of money. Everybody knows that nobody buys a yoke. So we don't say, you know what, he was Michael, and you're ready to pay 200 zuz for something you get for more, we assume that the bakar is included. We never assume, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, that there's mechila involved. We just looked at the circumstances. Here it's an easy circumstance, the price to make the determination. So I saw, this is a very bechiddush, because usually we know the halach is, dvarm shebelev enam dvarm. So we speak about a tzemed, the halacha should be that a tzemed and nothing else. Rabbi Yehuda now is telling us, no, we have to look at the circumstances to make a decision. I saw two tshuvas lahalacha where this question came up. One is a tshuva in the Karen Ladovid. The Karen Ladovid discussed the following situation. There was a shul, I guess they needed funds. So they sold a lot of things in that shul. One of the things they sold was one person was the right to have revi all year. Another thing that was sold in the shul was the right to have maftir the whole year. Now, there was a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Now, when we have Rosh Chodesh during the week, so there's a revi. When we have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the kriya of Rosh Chodesh is by maftir. So now we had a debate between these two individuals. Who gets that? Who has the rights to that aliyah? The individual that bought revi, because usually Rosh Chodesh does a revi, or is the person who bought maftir? So the Karen Ladovid says we have to look who paid more. And usually we, in that situation, it makes sense. The person who's bought the maftir for all year spent more money than the person that bought revi for all year, and therefore he's entitled to get the Rosh Chodesh aliyah, not the person who bought the revi. The Micha Shleimer, Shleim Zalman Orbach, uses this for another situation. He says, the question comes up, I have to say this delicately, there are certain dispensers that are put into lavatories that when you flush, they expel a liquid to give it, to disinfect. And sometimes they have a color. And the question is, you're coloring the water in the lavatory when you flush. The question is, are you allowed to use such a lavatory on Shabbos? There's a problem of tzviya. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you spend extra to have this type of dispenser that dispenses a colored liquid. So it's a proof that you want the color, and therefore it's considered tzviya, and you're not supposed to use it on Shabbos. The Chamaimim, continues the Mishnah, continues the Gemara, I'm sorry, Ein Adam Raya, we have to look at what you said, we don't look at any other circumstances. Continues the Gemara, L'divrei Chachamim, if we follow the opinion of Chachamim, that loch is, Oslav Shmarim. You're not, if I sell you oil, I'm not allowed to give you sediment. V'hanatama, deloy mekabel, and therefore, you're not accepting the sediment. D'amalei, ibay is laruvei, because you would tell me, if you wanted to mix the sediment in, mi'avisharloch, hashtanami, loy mekabel, I'm not accepting any sediment. Amalei rapapala baya, we could explain the opinion of Yehuda and Chachamim just in the reverse. Adrabba, Echim Istavra. The Divrei Chachamim, Mutar Laharav Shamarim. According to Chachamim, the Allah ought to be that you shall have to be mixed in the sediment. V'hanat Hamad Loi Mekabel. And therefore, here, where I want to deduct a leg and a half, you don't have to accept it. Amalei, because you could argue to me, Midalai Aftali, you have every right to mix it. But if you didn't, it must be because you're being a nice person and you're not going to take that right of putting in shmarim. On the other hand, we could suggest that the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda also love shmarim. You're not allowed to mix in the sediment. I over here, why is the halacha that I could deduct the leg and a half of shmarim? V'hayna tam d'mekabel, d'amlei, ibari laruvei, l'sharili laruvach, kibulei l'kibalt. You're telling me that I'm not allowed to mix in the sediment. You're also telling me that you bought 100 loig, you want 100 loig of pure oil. So I tell to you, Zovin the Zovin Tevenikri, if I keep on giving you more and more at a cheap price, am I a businessman? If I sell you 100 loig of shemen, and I'm going to have to deliver you 100 loig of shemen at this price, and not be able to deduct a loig and a half for the sediment, then I'm not going to have any profit. And a businessman without a profit is not a businessman. Continues the Gemara. Pana echra lekeach, ve'echra mafkid lepkotim. Pkotim is what's called in English scum, on top of the oil. Ma'i lepkotim. What does that mean? Kehecha, the lekeach lemekab lepkotim, that when I sell you oil, I have no right to deduct or deliver you oil lepkotim. Mafkid nami loy lepkab lepkotim. That if you leave oil by me, I have no right to deliver to you oil that hasn't been cut them. V'leimelei, the cut him, my eved lehu. I didn't create. Why should I suffer? You left with me oil. pekatim formed on it, and why should I be held responsible? Kehech the mafkid, Ella, says the Gemara, just the opposite. Kehech the mafkid bekabel pekatim. If you leave oil with me, and that oil forms pekatim, you have to take it back the way it is. Lekech nami mekab pekatim. That if I buy oil from you, and the oil that I buy has pekatim, I have to take it that way. Ask the Gemara, v'chi mekabel kech pekatim? If I buy oil from you, do I have to accept oil with pekatim? V'tanya b'yuda oimer, lo amru, l'shem and ocher. Chazal did not say that you have to accept oil that's cloudy, that has the pekatim. Elo, l'maych v'vad. Sherei, l'keach, the loss that the pekatim represent is a loss that the seller has to absorb. Because as we have learned, says Rabbi Yehuda, Shalakech Mekabalov, Loy Machza, Bishmabalai Bekatim. He already took a leg and a half, as we just finished learning in the previous Gemara, for the sediment. So why should he have to accept the Bekatim also? Answers the Gemara. Loy Kasha. Hadi Yavle, Zuzi Betishrei, Vekash Shakum and Eben Nissen, Kemida the Tishrei. If I sold you oil in Tishrei, in Tishrei, the oil hasn't really settled. So the oil is not yet quality oil. And therefore, the price of oil in Tishrei is cheaper. But it's also going to represent oil that has an epikotim. Hod yovle zuzi b'tishrei, because shokumine b'nissen. But since you paid the Tishrei price, you're entitled to the Tishrei quality. And the Tishrei quality has in it pekatim. On the other hand, if you bought in Nissan, hardy yavle zuzi ben Nissan, if you bought oil in Nissan and you paid the Nissan price, you're entitled to the Nissan quality. The Nissan quality is after the season when the oil is good, and at that time, because shokmanay ben Nissan committed the Nissan, you're entitled to get oil without pekatim.